I'm going to save the meditation this time for the second half of our time today. I just felt inspired to do that. So I'm just going to start by just having us take some deep breaths because I still want us to center. I still want us to center, and maybe we had a really busy Saturday, or we didn't sleep good or whatever. I don't know. I just want us to all take a couple breaths, a few breaths, three breaths here. So just, and again, I was always taught by my mom to do the good yoga breaths where you inhale for a set period of time and then you double whatever that was for the exhale. So I'm going to say let's inhale for two beats and exhale for four. So in, in, out, in, out, settled. We're settled. So I'm going to start with the discussion of the importance, and I know this is like so generic, but like the importance of really knowing who we are. And I was thinking about this talk and I was like, well, money is a spiritual idea. Everything's a spiritual idea. Everything's an illusion. Everything's a hologram. Going deeply into that sort of thought process. But then I was like, to even think about or muse or mull upon any of those ideas, we first need to realize who we are. And I think that's a very tricky thing to do because I was thinking about it and I'm like, I think I say this every talk of mine, but gosh, I'm especially feeling it this past week. We are very much ingrained in a very 3D world. And I remember Dr. Joseph Murphy, he does a discussion of the Devil Tarot card, which is unlike the very Abrahamic religion concept of the devil, does not represent evil or wickedness. What it represents is base animal consciousness, what the Bible calls in Revelation the beast. It is being so fully and completely consumed with our animal 3D existence. And in this world, in our society, especially our Western American society, it's all that is emphasized. And I was, as I'm sure some of you know, I love ghost stories, I love Halloween. And so I'll sometimes listen to podcasts that talk about ghost stories. And it was interesting to look at the comments because some people are so very much, absolutely, spirits exist, absolutely, a world greater than just this 3D, our body exists. And then there were many, many people in the comments who were like, oh, you're so stupid. It's 2024. Why do you believe in ghosts? Why do you believe in anything that cannot be empirically, which means physically observed, physically studied, physically measured with Western, modern science that had its roots in the Renaissance and Newtonian physics? If you can't measure it with that, it doesn't exist. If you don't have it in your 3D, it doesn't exist. And it was interesting for me to read those comments because I live in such a world where there's so much more than that. Studying with you all, being friends with you all, the books I read, the things I listen to, the idea that there's not more than 3D seems as ludicrous to me as the people who think there's only 3D and think that believing in ghosts or spirituality is ludicrous. So it was interesting for me to see that other viewpoint. And I think that gets to the core of step one for all of Ernest Holmes and Joseph Murphy and Neville Goddard's and New Thought and Divine Science's teachings is to realize that we are so much more than just the 3D. We are so much more than just our physical bodies and waking up in the morning and having a knee-jerk reaction of, God, I gotta go to work. I gotta make coffee. I gotta get the kiddos to school. Oh my God, I gotta get coffee. I gotta wake up. I gotta get dressed. Do the kids have lunch packed? We are so much more than just these 3D bodies and our knee-jerk reactions and our everyday patterns and habits and beliefs. We're so much more than that. And there's a quote that our Holmes uses, and it's something like, we are, he discusses Jesus turning water into wine. And he says, you know, who are we to say, almost like he's talking to those YouTuber commentators, who are we to say he didn't do that? Who are we to say that he didn't tap into the greatness of mind and do that? And he says, we are all Christ-like, Christ-minded, I think is the term he uses. And we just have to realize that we are limitless. And, you know, that's all fine and good for words to say. There's a movie with Bradley Cooper called Limitless, right? Where he takes a pill and he becomes godlike. He's able to learn French in one night. He's able to learn calculus and be brilliant and be a genius and become a super spy. You know, that's all fun when it's a Hollywood movie or when it's words said to us, oh, we are limitless. But to actually put it into practice and actually think about it, that's a hard one. It's gonna require a lot of overwriting old beliefs. And it's like when you're on a computer screen and you save a document and it comes up and it says, at least in my experience, you know, you already have a version of this saved. Because I, in my work, I will often save multiple versions of something. I'm an editor. I'm a technical communication specialist, and I love multiple versions of stuff. So it'll often say, "Okay, Kaylee, you already have a version of this. Do you want to overwrite it? Do you want to and save a new version? Do you want to keep both, or do you want to cancel?" And so I liken this to, we want to overwrite our old beliefs. We don't want to completely cancel them because we do live in a 3D world. And, you know, Holmes mentions gravity. We do want to still stay focused in our reality of, yes, if we walk off a cliff, we're going to fall. Yes, we need to feed our bodies. Yes, we need to exercise. We need to socialize. We need to nurture our 3D selves. But we want to overwrite the belief that we're only that. We're a lot more than that. We are connected to this beautiful mind soup, if you will. A lot of philosophers and even spiritualists in the 1800s, late and mid 1800s, when spiritualism was rising as a belief system in especially the Eastern United States, and even post World War I as well, and people were dying for a connection with more than just the 3D, they would say, "Oh, we're surrounded by ether." It was called ether, and Holmes calls it the mind, the great oneness of mind, the great God mind, the mind of God surrounds us at all times. And as beings that are more than just 3D beings, we can connect at any and all times with this God mind and this mind around us, this ether around us. And what we do when we connect with the mind and the ether and the energy and potentiality around us is we make things manifest, right? We make things manifest. And Holmes says we take the energy of mind and we make it to manifest, we make it to a thing by and through the medium and power of thought. Okay? And people do not realize, at least in our society, the power of thought, the strength of our mind, the strength of having a thought and believing it true and real. The law of assumption, as Neville Goddard says, believing something to be true so that it is. The Bible says, and the word was made manifest, and the word became flesh and lived among us. The word, your thought, your beliefs that you think and believe so strongly, made flesh. Jesus says, as a man thinketh, so shall he be. If you think something enough, you start to believe it. You start to believe it. This is most beautifully illustrated for me in I have a YouTube channel that I love called The Dodo. And it is a channel dedicated to sharing beautiful stories about animal rescues and animal best friends. And the thing that echoes again and again is that love heals. You take an animal that was abused and starving, and it's scared. It's scared and it won't leave its cage and it won't leave the garage and it doesn't want to be by you and it's hurt. It is hurt. And that's an ingrained hurt and pain deep within that animal's soul. And sometimes we have those belief systems. We're not enough. Money is hard to come by. I have to struggle for money. Rich people are bad. Rich people are corrupt. Sometimes those things are deep within our souls. From our childhood, from other people's beliefs, teachers, parents. And the thing that the dodo says again and again on its channel is that love heals. And these human beings are so patient, patient and dedicated. And every day they sit and they offer food and they offer kind words. And by the end of the video, the dog or the cat or the bird is healed. And love, love, love lights them up. And love heals. So look at that. That fear, that terror was overwritten with a new program, a new belief that you are loved and you are safe. And that animal's life is transformed. And we can do that too. We can do that too. We can learn to trust and believe in something new. And I'll never forget in the TV show documentary, excuse me, The Secret by Rhonda Byrne, 2007, which changed my life and introduced me to all of this. I don't forgive my lack of recollection of her name, but she is a speaker in there and she says it's a section on money and finances. And she says, you have to start telling yourself and affirming good things about money. And it's gonna feel like a tennis match at first, because you're gonna be thinking, this is stupid. This is foolish. This is dumb. This is stupid. You're gonna be telling yourself that at first, because our society has deeply ingrained, and our parents have deeply ingrained, and our teachers have deeply ingrained a struggle, because by no fault of their own, that's what they were taught. And when something someone's all someone's known, they're going to teach that. And they're really not even going to realize it until maybe it's too late. So it's going to be a tennis match of your old beliefs and your new beliefs and your old beliefs and your new beliefs. And the thing you have to be is like those humans who sat next to those dogs or held that cat or offered food. You have to be patient. And you have to remember that you are so much more than your 3D beliefs, and that your beliefs can be overwritten, and that everything around you is God mind and you're connected to it. And you can make new things become flesh. with your new thoughts again and again and again and again. Say something enough. Say something enough and say it again and 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 again. And have an open enough mind to believe that you can change. And you will start to believe it. Also summarized by the classic adage, fake it till you make it. Walk around like you have the most confidence in the world, and people will start to believe that you have the most confidence in the world. A time for a drink from my water jug. Stay hydrated, folks. And so one of the things that I think we all really struggle with is money. And it's interesting because I was watching a movie last night with my parents called Molly's Game. And I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with this show, with this movie. It is about a woman who she starts with running legal poker games, right? It goes into illegal. But what fascinated me was these people who are dropping, to bid in. It's $250,000. We're talking Russian billionaires. We're talking Derek Jeter of the Yankees. We're talking these people who, to them, $250,000 is pocket change. And I can almost guarantee you that they don't have any thoughts that are limiting about money. And so it was interesting to me to look at that and then look at my family, who, especially on my paternal side, has always really struggled with money and thought that it was a painful thing, thought that it was something that required struggle and anger and bitterness, bitterness beyond belief. And so it was so interesting to me that a mindset change. And there's a character in the movie, and he's a horrible poker player. And like I'm talking, he loses 100,000 every night that he plays, right? But the narrator says he comes in there, and what he's actually looking for, he'll lose 100,000 at poker, but he gets a client to buy into his hedge fund for 4 million. So let's talk about mindset. Let's talk about mindset. Let's talk about mindset with money. Let's talk about there's a lack. Okay. All right. Okay. So we come from a world where, yes, unless you're the 1%, unless you're those guys around the poker table, or, later there's a character who's a trust fund kid, unless you've grown up with and had a lot of money or gained a lot of money, you're gonna probably have some beliefs that there's lack. There's a set amount of jobs in the world. If you're not on that job, you have to be on unemployment. You're always chasing enough to make the bills paid. You're always chasing the paycheck. You're just living for the paycheck. You're living for the weekend, right? That's what a lot of us believe. And I'll never forget when I first started listening to Dr. Joseph Murphy. He had a saying, he would say, there is enough fruit and vegetables and animals in the tropics that die and rot every day that could feed the world three times over. There is no lack. God's mind that we are surrounded with cannot know lack because God is all. And if God is everything, then God cannot know missing something or lacking something, right? And I always remember that. And there's another story that Dr. Joseph Murphy tells where he said, I knew, so he was a pharmacist originally. He was a pharmacist as his job, and he was a pharmacist in his unit in World War II. And so he knew pharmacists a lot of the time. A lot of his stories were about pharmacists. And he said, I knew this pharmacist and he had his own business. And he would tell me, I'm always running on low. I'm always just barely making it. And he said, so I started talking with him, and he started coming to my talks. And he said, one day the gentleman was in his store and it was empty and it was pouring rain. And he said, the guy told me that at that moment he just had an epiphany that God's abundance was as plentiful as the downpour of rain outside. And it struck him in that moment that he was forever surrounded by God's abundance, because we are surrounded by the ether that is God's mind, and God knows everything. God cannot know lacking or missing anything because God knows everything. It cannot exist that God doesn't know something. So he said, I am completely surrounded by God's abundance at all times. And he said, for some reason, that clicked for him. And next thing you knew, the guy's making tons of money hand over fist. His business is prospering just because of that mindset switch. That even if you feel like you're struggling, you are actually within the cradle of God's abundance and God's all-knowingness. And that you're actually not lacking. God is actually all around you, holding you, keeping you warm, keeping you safe. You just have to make that connection to God. Because a lot of us are really walking around in our full 3D bodies, the beast mindset, if you will, the base consciousness of lack of competition. And Goddard says something. He's like, you are Neville Goddard. He, in his practices, he says, you're really the only thinker in your world. Is there any competition if you're the only mind that you have? If you're the only mind that you have and you're the one connecting to God, because let's face it, we can be close with someone, we can be empathic, we can be kind, but we are not connected with someone else. Like, we don't experience their mind. There's a philosophical belief system that I don't totally agree with called solipsism, which is that the one's mind is it. And I believe that we're all connected through God. So I don't fully believe that our mind is it, but our mind is what we experience things through, right? So if we're our only thinker in the world, is there really any competition? No. Is there really any lack? No. Because at any time, we as our experiencers can connect to God, which is what Jesus did when he's feeding the multitude with the bread and the loaves of bread and the fish. His disciples were like, man, come on, we got two breads and one fish. How are we going to feed these people? But Jesus was so beautifully advanced. Yeshua was his name. Such a beautiful extension of God and brilliant thinker that he had no disconnection from the Father, from the heavenly source. And he was like, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. We're going to feed. And guess what happened? It came and it came and it came, and they had enough food. And Jesus was at the wedding, and they said, man, we're out of wine. We have lack. And Jesus said, no, you don't. And again, these examples are like physical miracles because he was so very much connected to God that there was no issue with a physical miracle for him. And we have that potentiality. I mean, Jesus says in his practices, you shall do greater things than I. You know? He says, you guys, you just got to practice this. You just got to be one with the Father. You shall be able to move mountains if ye have faith the size of a mustard seed. Right? So we have to remember that we connect, right? We connect with God at any point. And money is just an idea. Money is just an idea. Let's think about it. We live in a world of fiat currency. I like to think constantly that the money and the numbers going through the stock market, going through people's accounts, is all just whizzing through the air around us. It's not real, right? It's not real. It's not real. And so at any point, we can just pull out of the ether. I'll take some of that. I'll take some money. I'll do that. Like, I had a really fun experience where, I've been affirming some good positive things, and I got my electricity bill, and it turns out that I had paid extra last month, so my electricity bill was zero, and it said right on there, do not pay, And I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, I've never seen that before. And I took a picture of it and I was like, so, okay, I'll take some of that. I'll take not having to pay bills. I'll take some money there. I'll take a refund there. Yes, I will. Finding out my credit card has like points on it. Oh, I'll take that. We can pick and choose what we want because everything is just an idea. And there's a really beautiful story that Dr. Joseph Murphy uses. And so, well, I want to go back to real quick. Holmes says something like, we have to be able to think and realize that as we're thinking and thinking something, we're making it manifest, right? Who are we to say that Jesus didn't make water into wine? Holmes mentions a friend who lost everything and he went to his wife and he said, we're going to be going through some hard times, but I don't want you to say the word failure in this house. There's no such thing. I'm a success. And Holmes says, within a short amount of time, the guy was back in business and being very prosperous. So we have to realize and accept that our thoughts and our minds are making manifest things. Our thoughts and our minds and our focus and our willingness to change and open up to God's self and God around us and the ether around us. Our willingness to do that is going to make things manifest. And there is everything you could possibly imagine, money, ideas, examples, anything you could want, God has it, right? There's a beautiful example of this that Dr. Joseph Murphy uses, and he says it's one of his first examples in his great magnificent opus, Power of Your Subconscious Mind, and it's one of the first ones he uses, where he was in touch with an archaeologist, and this archaeologist was. He had a piece of, I think it was a vase, right? That was in pieces. And he had been spending weeks trying to put this vase together. And he was like, I'm going crazy. I am spending hours. I cannot get this together. And he said the archaeologist told him, it was like, 1 a.m. And he was like, I gotta go to sleep. And he goes to sleep and he's been thinking about this vase for weeks, right? And he has a dream. Where if I remember correctly, it was a person dressed like the priest of whatever culture he was studying. I think it was Mayan, comes up to him in the dream, puts a screen, and shows the perfectly put together vase on the screen. And the archaeologist said, I woke up, I was half asleep, I grabbed my notebook, I sketched it out, fell back asleep, woke up and said, oh my God, I just had to move two of the pieces slightly, and he was able to put it back together perfectly. So there is everything in the ether. There is an archaeologist's broken vase that he's trying to put together. There is money. There is the idea for Harry Potter that J.K. Rowling says she was on a train and it came to her. There is everything you can imagine and need within the ether. You just have to have one, the willingness to believe that your thoughts can change and that your thoughts can create, the willingness to believe that you're connected to the ether and God's mind all around you, the willingness to believe that you could connect to it at any time, the willingness to believe that God's mind experiences only abundance. And that any competition or lack is what Neville Goddard calls an illusion. And then you have to have the willingness of the people on the Dodo channel who are strong and patient and who affirm love, affirm a new idea again and again, day after day, even when it seems like the dog is not going to come out of its crate. Even when it seems like the animal's not going to stop hissing at you, they are patient and they are determined. You have to have that same patience and determination as you affirm your new truth, as you overwrite your old beliefs, you have to have that same patience and determination. Because let's be real, it's decades of limiting beliefs. And that's going to take some time to overwrite. Have the patience and the determination of someone sitting next to an abused dog and giving them love. And I just remember this one vivid footage of this man just looking at this dog and saying, "You are a beautiful angel." And he would tell her that every day. And he got the inspiration then to introduce her to his other dogs, and she came out of her shell and she had friends and it's beautiful now. But just the patience and determination to tell a creature you are an angel, you are pure love. Have the same determination to tell yourself beautiful things and change your mind. Be like that pharmacist, that God's love is like a downpour all around me. Have the determination and the mindset of that poker player who was like, "Well, damn, I might lose some money, but guess what? I just got a client for 4 million, so what's 100K to that?" You know, have a mindset switch and have the determination and faith and love in yourself and care about yourself enough to really work at it. Don't give up. A habit takes 60 days to break. Most surgeons say, you know, a body takes about 90 days to really settle in from inflammation. Doctors say it takes about 90 days for a new medicine to reach your system and get equilibrium in your system. So don't give up at 2 weeks. Sometimes it's going to take 90 days. Sometimes Dr. Joseph Murphy, I've told the story about manifesting the house from someone he'd never met, who'd written him in his will because she heard him on the radio. That took him 5 months. Don't give up. Have the patience and the love for yourself to keep going and keep trying and making these changes. And I'm going to say to you, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a tennis match for a lot of us on this call. But you have to love yourself and care enough for yourself to do that and to remind yourself, I'm connected to God. I'm connected to the mind around me. I'm connected to so much, and I can pick and choose what I want. And I'm now going to choose this, and I'm going to focus on this, and I'm going to overwrite, you know, like that option comes, Microsoft Word. Do you want to replace this file with a new one? Yes, I do. And just keep saying, okay, replace, okay, replace with your new thought again and again and again. Because money is just an idea. Those numbers aren't real. You can just know that God's abundance is around you, comes in many forms. And I'm going to end with one of my favorite tales ever from Neville Goddard. And this is something I did disagree with from Holmes. He says something like you know, expect, and this, okay, this is true sometimes. Sometimes the law, Holmes says, the law does know more than you. Absolutely. God knows more than you. Because God is everything, right? Past, present, future, time doesn't exist. So God does know some things, maybe the mind, the greater mind knows some things that you don't. So, yes, in some cases, yes, things will come to you in ways you don't expect. In ways you don't expect. And sometimes some speakers will be like, oh, you know, just affirm for abundance and it'll come to you, which is true. You know, I've been affirming for success and I got that bill that said, don't pay $0. So, yes, absolutely, abundance can come to you. But in my personal experience, I have found that very specific affirmations and prayers work best just for me, right? And there's an example from Goddard that reflects this. And again, to each their own, if you love the belief that, you know, you be general and you be open to all sorts of different things, beautiful. I love that for you. I agree completely. There's been times when I've let go of things and it's come to me in a different way. Absolutely. But there's an example from Goddard that shows the power of just having a specific belief. And again, even Dr. Joseph Murphy with the specific house he wanted in Beverly Hills, a certain amount, a recording studio, he got all of that. So you can manifest those specific things too. And like I said, I'm going to end here with one of my favorite stories from Goddard. And it was a gentleman, and this was a big deal because this was back in the 50s, right? So this gentleman was an African American gentleman. He was sitting in the audience of one of Goddard's talks, and he was like, "Well, Goddard's up there talking about abundance, and he's like, and I haven't used these teachings yet to work with money. I wonder if that's something I can do." And one of his this gentleman's favorite things to do was go to the horse races. And he said, "I want to win money at a horse race." Okay. And some teachers might be like, "Don't do gambling, don't do the lottery, it's bad for you, it won't work, et cetera, et cetera." But this guy said, "I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm gonna give it a shot." And so he said, it was the Caliente racetrack in California, right? So he said, "I'm gonna give this a shot." And he said, for 3 weeks, I would go to bed and I would picture myself looking down at my slips and feeling the elation of I have won them all. And he would picture himself going to the payout gentleman, teller, whatever, and the guy being like, "Well, how about that? Congratulations," and handing him a huge stack of cash. And he did this every night for 3 weeks. Okay. Every night for 3 weeks, he did it before bed. He would fall asleep in that feeling. And the gentleman said, "I didn't go to the racetrack. I didn't even look at the races for 3 weeks." And he said, "Only after 3 weeks did I go to the Caliente racetrack." And he said, "I just picked the horses." And he said, "I won every single one. The only difference was that the teller handed me a check." And he said, "Just like in my visionings, I pulled open my jacket and I put it here by my heart." And he said, and I won it." And the reason I mentioned this is so important is that there's a newspaper clipping of this gentleman, name, shaking the hand of the teller, getting his winnings. In 1950 something, it was 55,000, the equivalent of $725,000 that he won at a racetrack because he went and he went to Neville Goddard, and Goddard didn't say to him, "Well, gee whiz, you should have just affirmed for general abundance." He said, "Holy crap, man, that's how you use the law." And he talked to Goddard, and Goddard featured, he said, "Can I feature you in my book?" And the guy said, "Absolutely." And he said, here's a newspaper clipping, and it's in the book, and I'll find it and I'll send it to you guys." And it's the gentleman's happy as can be, shaking the guy's hand, says how much he won, says how much he won at the racetrack. I don't know if they mentioned Goddard in the article, but he regularly went to Goddard's classes and said, "I just decided to do this." And it was 3 weeks of continual belief. And he did not touch or go or look at the races until those 3 weeks were up and he felt solid. And I just love that story. And that's why money is just an idea, man. Money is just an idea. And you just have to have the patience and the determination to love yourself enough to overwrite and replace those old beliefs. And I believe that every one of us can do that. And so I send you off with that positive idea and to mull upon that story. And thank you for your time this morning and now afternoon. I hope you got something. Thank you.